future is bright, especially if we build for it. Welcome to Architecting the Future, a podcast for the builders of tomorrow, all about people, process, and technology. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Architecting the Future. I am really excited today to have Waris Agh here, Chief Technology Officer at Cisco. Waris, thanks so much for joining our little podcast here.
Pleasure is all mine, Miles, and it's nice talking to you.
We not every day we get a senior leader at Cisco, so I'm very excited to dig in on both your take on 5G today and also some of how Cisco thinks about it. So I thought just to start, maybe for anyone who doesn't know you or only knows a little bit about you, you could just introduce yourself and a little bit about what you do at Cisco.
Thank you, Miles. As you introduced, my name is Waris Agh. I lead the product and solutions development for 5G products. I work as a chief technology officer. My role is very specific to service provider side. When I use the word service provider, I mean, mobile companies and wireline companies around the world. So I look at globally. So my view is pretty much US, Middle East, Europe, LATAM, Canada, Asia. So those are all the places where I work with all the customers around the world and help them and to build the next generation networks.
It's pretty exciting stuff. So I wanted to start with a softball. What is 5G for anyone who doesn't really understand it? And why is this such exciting and transformative technology?
That's a very good question. So let me start with something that everybody can relate to. If you recall, prior to 2000, there was mostly a wireline world where at home people used to have wire to connect to computers. Then the wireless came in. You may, and people, listeners may not realize that how much freedom they got in the wireless side. They can basically move around, they can do all that stuff. And the wireless technology continues to improve. They can run 4K TV and Netflix and all those things on a wireless TV. Used to be wired before all the time. So what it has happened is in a wireless world, we basically have this 4G, which is a fourth generation that we are using right now, or 4G Advanced that we call it. It has previous generation, 3G, third generation, second generation. So that was old times. Now, what 5G is bringing is all the benefits of wireless that we realize, and at the same time, the power of immersive experience. So what does that mean? This is what it means. 4G was all about connectivity. Now, in 4G, the industry has done a great job. You can have a meeting on WebEx, and you can drive around the entire city. I live in Bay Area without a single call drop. You can do conversation. You can see the video outside. So you can have voice, video, and data. Now, with the immersive experience for like augmented reality, virtual reality, gaming outside, heavy bandwidth-based applications or requiring low latency applications. Whenever the low latency means better experience. So you are not limited for technologies that you were limited by wire or limited for reliability that, for these things, yes, we cannot use wireless, we have to use wire. Now you are getting a freedom from them. So 5G is basically not just high speed. Obviously, it's high speed. We are talking about very high bandwidth. So one example I can give you is, now you may be seeing the ad from mobile providers, hey, get a high-speed internet from us. Like they call it as fixed wireless access. So places where cable was not there or wired internet was not there, now they have the option to get high-speed internet over wireless. So there are a lot many applications, but the big promise is industry revolution. Lot many things like factory floors, robots, utilities company, they can all utilize the power of 5G with the low latency and high bandwidth applications. So overall, for all of us, you will see very interesting things coming up as the 5G progress. By the way, we are moving towards 5G Advanced, which is the next phase of 5G coming up. And then, believe it or not, people are now also talking about 6G, which is a sixth generation. So lot many devices, lot many, extended reality stuff will be coming in.
Yeah, very cool. So in layman's terms, the idea would be right now, if I go on a WebEx meeting and I'm walking around on the city street, I could hit latency and I'd be fuzzy on your screen.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, with 5G, that's going to go away.
It will go away, but now you can do more than that. You can even do this with 4G today. But what if you want to have augmented reality applications outside, virtual reality applications outside? What if you want a very fast download speed outside, right? And you have many, many users using at the same time. All those things are possible. If you're a single user or if you're a few users on WebEx, yes, that should be 4G should be able to do that. But if you want to do some more than that, and that's exactly with the whole metaverse and things that have been talked about, but if you are not want to go outside and enjoy the same benefit, and there are applications will be coming in the future that may require it too. So those things will be 5G will be very beneficial.
Yeah. And so that stadium effect that happens right now will stop happening. Yes. Where you're in a stadium and nothing works and you're like, why can't I get my
stuff? Oh, yeah. All those things will basically, you will have a much better, as I said, immersive experience with 5G.
Now, what's Cisco's strategy? So you see this coming. You're obviously an expert at it. You're helping to build it. I mean, how's Cisco going to make money on this transformation?
So Cisco has been working on this for quite some time. We started looking at it around 2015 timeframe that we started to, in fact, prior to that also. But we started to look at what 5G means to us. So Cisco is in the business of building mobile packet cores, which is one of the components of when you're deploying a mobile network. There are three main elements. One, we call it as packet core, which is basically kind of the brains and it looks after everything. And then there is a thing called packet transport, meaning connecting that mobile core to a thing called radio access network. These are the antennas you see outside when you are driving by, all these towers, that's the radio access network. So these are the three components. Cisco actually develops and builds mobile packet core and has deployed to many customers around the world, as well as there's a large percentage of packet transport comes from Cisco. So those are our two main assets there. Apart from that, there are other security and all the other stuff that we do also. So what Cisco wants to do is Cisco wants to make sure that all these applications, which runs on top of it, or the packet transport is rock solid, number one. We want to make sure that the packet core and the packet transport that you get the best experience out of 5G. So your experience is as good as your network. So that's consider this part, right? For example, if you're using at home your Wi-Fi and your Wi-Fi works great for 10 minutes and then the signal drops, what will happen? You have a problem, right? Your TV or your home or you're talking to someone, the call drops. The main element in all these things is making sure that you have a very reliable, trustworthy network at the same time with security. And at the same time, you need to make sure that, if there is a failure, it should be able to recover also. And you should have a good visibility and insight, right? That how I'm going to, is everything going okay? Do I need to do anything? So you have a complete good visibility in the network. So that's what Cisco is trying to do. And that's the reason we have a large deployment in the world where people have realized that, building a stable and a reliable network is the number one item to be done. And think about, again, there was a COVID and other things that happened that basically initially the deployment was slow. But now, if you look around the world, there are a big percentage in the developed countries, 5G has already been deployed. Now the phase is basically underdeveloped countries are deploying 5G. So there's a lot happening in that era. And the developed countries are now looking at 5G advanced, which is the next thing coming up. In summary, Miles, what is the future of all of us? The future is ubiquitous connectivity. Basically, what you want is you may be on a hike. You may be driving somewhere nowhere. You still want to have the connectivity. Why? Because we depend on connectivity. Emergency services, health, education. The main benefit of having the connectivity everywhere, firstly, it removes a digital divide, which is extremely critical, by the way, not only in US, outside US, globally. So when we have ubiquitous connectivity, meaning your wired customer, wireless connectivity, and that wireless can be coming from your cell phone coverage, or it may be coming from satellite event. So there's a lot of work going on. If you have Starlink, you may have seen the many videos on YouTube. People talk about, hey, I'm living in a desert and I'm using the internet connectivity there. So ubiquitous connectivity is the main goal here. And at the same time, better experience without having any barrier to run any application. That's what Cisco is doing, enabling this whole infrastructure to be basically reliable, secure, and be able to handle future current application as well as future applications. And at the same time, you know, helping to remove the digital divide in the world.
Yeah, very cool. And now I'm curious, when you look at the opportunity, it's obviously very clear that even the, having more equality for access and opportunity, and there's some amazing benefits that I'm sure are very fulfilling to work on. What are the biggest, you know, if you had to pick two or three problems that stand in the way of that future, what are they as we sit today?
There are, the first thing, you need to have a global view for this. I'll start with a very basic. There are big parts of the world where people have not switched to 5G phone. They're still using phone, but because it costs money, by the way. So at the end of the day, for 5G to work, you need to have 5G network, you need to have a 5G phone. Just like if you have Apple iPhone 11, you will never get 5G because you don't have the phone that supports 5G. So same goes for, you know. So globally, one thing is, because you have to understand the cost is very different. So firstly, the 5G handsets needs to be used by people to use 5G. Secondly, the cost of deploying 5G is huge in many parts of the world, and even in US, there's a large amount of money people have spent on spectrum. Just US alone, $100 billion was spent on the spectrum, just the spectrum. So which basically when all these radios, which they can talk 5G there. So cost, how do you reduce the cost? Basically, operational efficiencies are there. Sustainability is a big part. We also want to reduce the power consumption, and also that's another important part there. Another element to look at is openness of the solution. How open the solution is. For example, the radio access network today are very close system. So when there's an initiative which we call it as Open RAN Alliance, that has come up with some of the definitions. So here's the thing. People should be able to use best of the world, and the technology should be open. The more the openness in the technology, the more innovation there. So that's something will happen there. Lastly, I'll mention this, that there's also a big need for some use cases to basically make these operators very profitability needs to be there. As of now, many of the things in 5G that we are using today from use case perspective are very much 4G, like, you know, voice, video, and data. The big 5G use case has come up, which we call it as fixed wireless access. It's basically consider high-speed internet connectivity for internet or for sites connectivity, a kind of a replacement for wired network. So we need more use cases. We need more streamlined use cases, which may be a new revenue streams for the operators that will help them to be profitable. They are profitable. They're going to invest in the, you know, more infrastructure there. So that's overall some of the hurdles there in 5G that, by the way, there will be application. It's just a matter of time. That has happened in the past because I have been in a time when I remember a time before 2007, 2006, if people recall, mobile was not used for data that much because why would they use it? And here comes the iPhone and change the world. Now you can watch videos and all of a sudden, everyone just cares about mobile now. So applications in the past were not there, but they do come up. Same will happen for the 5G. There will be applications. We have fixed wireless access today. More applications will be coming up in the future.
Yeah, very cool. And what makes you most personally excited to be working on this? I mean, you talked about a lot of applications. Is there one that's most meaningful to you?
For me, personally, with the CID, I see the potential. I think the way the world is connected, the way it has basically opened doors for education, finance, health, especially health is a huge thing. there are experiment. Let's say, you know, the work is going on in parts of the world where people cannot get good health. For example, I'll tell you a location where they told me one of the things they were testing is for, you know, for they want to have a mobile van which with 4K videos connectivity, and then a surgeon sitting somewhere else can look at the patient and basically analyze, because he's going to get a much better results from that kind of connectivity there. And then to me, health, education, overall connectivity which people are getting, the new applications coming up that will make the things more for kids and for others to, you know, for better learning opportunities. Those are the things which excites me about the because infrastructure, the better infrastructure we have. So think about all the freeways we have and how much people can travel around. And you know, when they were built, I'm sure somebody must have asked this question that, hey, who is using all those freeways? Because there's so much investment being done. But now look at this. You know, they look from at innovations of car and the travel industry. So there are not many opportunities there, especially. And as we go along in this journey, what we need to realize is having a ubiquitous connectivity will also help for many, many industries to develop in the future.
Yeah, it's exciting to see, like you said, as the network becomes more of a certainty, the applications will likely follow.
And everywhere also. It's not just one. I shouldn't be like, you know, if you're driving down, you know, somewhere where you don't get mobile coverage, you should not be limited. And if your car breaks down, or if you want to listen or look at the map, very basic stuff, then all of a sudden you lose the connectivity. That we don't want. We want that wherever you are going, and US is a big country. So what we want is that you can be in either in US, outside the US, you are traveling, you are sitting in a plane, you should be connected. Because if you have seen some of the news, there are very high-speed internet connectivities coming to the planes now. So regardless of where you are, you should have the access to the good internet connection, or good connectivity, where you can do what you would like to do.
Yeah. As someone who's a little bit of a, you know, I don't know, futurist, but you're certainly a visionary thinker in technology and have, you know, risen to the ranks of a large company, I'm curious what books you might recommend to those maybe in my shoes that are earlier on in a technology career. Like what books have been most influential? Is it podcasts and, you know, TikTok reels? I might be changing.
And are you asking from technology or leadership or?
Yeah,
or
just either, maybe even both. Yeah.
So I'll tell you one of my, so if from technology perspective, Cisco has a site where Cisco has these conferences called Cisco Live. Mm-hmm. We put everything there on the website, all the videos of training. This is Cisco Live. So go to search Cisco Live in Google and you will find a Cisco Live where you can find all sort of technology stuff there. That's number one. YouTube is good, but at the same time, you have to find the reliable people. Just want to make sure that whatever information you are getting reliably from technology. And then there are many, many, many great sites like Coursera, EDX, and there are many sites where you can go and learn those. So from technology perspective, that would be the go-to place. From leadership perspective, you know, and again, TED Talk has always been my favorite. That's a very forward-looking thinking. At the same time, listening to some of the industry leaders, and one of the books, basically, by the way, I love this book. This is such a small book called Why Emotional Intelligence. Daniel Goleman is the guy who actually is one of the thought leader in this area. Mm-hmm. And emotional intelligence is extremely important to understand, because IQ and EQ, which is emotional intelligence, where it comes from, that something is very important for us to be successful. At the end of the day, we are all human, and success just doesn't come from any smart people. Success comes from a culture, from how we collaborate, how we build together. One other thing I love about my group, by the way, in Cisco, is the teamwork. How we built, and I work with many, many smart people. And you just appreciate the idea and from different point of view, and eventually we come out with something so great, it just feels good that, hey, this is a great experience working together and building together. And that's where EQ plays a very good role in addition to IQ.
And it's interesting you say that, and in one of the most cutting edge technology sectors that our country has. you still see EQ as critical to getting these IQ technology puzzles done, which is a really interesting commentary. Because it's not like you're a marketing leader where it's all soft stuff. This is really the hardcore technology in our country. Yeah.
How can you have the, basically, how can you grow when you have a problem in the culture? Nobody can grow in a toxic culture. Yes, maybe short time, but at the end of the day, you will not be there for a long, long time. If you look at Cisco history, it has been around for some time, and we keep on innovating. You keep on hearing new stuff. There's a lot. The entire world is now looking at AIML right now, which has many, many different applications, by the way. And this is going to be the next front in the industry, and Cisco is really working in that area. My point is this: where I see again, I've seen different cycles going up and down in the industry. The one thing that has kept the company and any success to happen is the culture. Mm-hmm. And cultures come from people, and EQ is definitely important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a really, really good point. Now, someone wanted to connect with you, whether to partner with Cisco on the 5G front or hear your advice or anything, or follow you. Is LinkedIn okay, or what are the main platforms you hang out on?
LinkedIn would be perfect. In fact, reach out to me. I always respond. If people are reaching out and they want to connect, have a chat, absolutely. Just depends on the availability, but LinkedIn would be perfect.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Waris, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. We wish you all the best as you keep building at Cisco and look forward to having you back on again in the future.
Thank you, Miles. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Absolutely.